and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We're coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening, we'll look at Kenya's Building Better Bridges Initiative, commonly known as BBI, and what it may mean for the rest of the continent. And joining us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54. Vincent, welcome to the show once again.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
You're very much welcome. And we're also joined by Nelly Mora Nyangorora. She's a Nairobi-based independent journalist. She's joining us from there. Good evening, Nelly.
Good evening. I am glad to be joining you once again.
You're very much welcome. As I said, we're looking at the Kenya's experiment in BBI. First of all, Nelly, bring us up to date. What's the status now, and what does BBI, what is it all about?
BBI is a Building Bridges Initiative, and it was born out of a handshake. And this handshake was necessitated by the situation in the country after the 2017 general election. You do recall that that election was heavily contested and very divisive. We had to go to the ballot twice. The first one outcome was the Supreme Court decided that the outcome was disputed, so it ordered a fresh election, presidential election, which was again boycotted by not only the main opposition party then, that was the Orange Democratic Movement, led by the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Raila Odinga, and the counties that have that strong support for the party. And several counties did not participate in the second election. And after the results of the second election and the swearing in and the taking office of President Uhuru Kenyatta, Kenya was heavily divided still. There was a lot of violence. It forced supporters to call for the swearing in of their leader then, who they believed was the people's president, Raila Odinga. He took oath of office, which was again a controversial exercise that was administered at Uhuru Park. And after that exercise, Kenya's stability was under threat. The economy had taken a dip. There were calls for secession. People were saying that Kenya had become a bad marriage and divorce was necessary. So those calls were gaining crescendo to the point that the president and Raila Odinga, through proxies, were engaging in meetings. And eventually, the country was told that there was a handshake that excluded other players who were critical to the political process, like the deputy president, William Ruto. He was not present when the handshake was, the pictures were beaming on TV as breaking news that Uhuru Kenyatta and Raila Odinga had decided to work together. And from that handshake, they now moved to cementing it through a legal framework, and that is how the Building Bridges Initiative was born, whose idea is to promote unity and foster peace and basically ensure inclusivity in all aspects of life.
I see. Vincent, this, as we discussed, this one seems to be a unique experiment on the continent, isn't it?
This is a unique experiment on the continent, and one of the things that makes it very notable is that it is a collaboration between two political rivals who went against each other so bitterly, who had no nice words for each other in the previous elections, two elections. And these two because of these two political leaders, the country came to the brink, almost, exploded into serious violence. But now the same two leaders managed to come together, and not only come together to reconcile, but actually to come up with a plan for reconciling the country. they decided to go beyond their personal reconciliation and personal interest and said they wanted to come up with something that will resolve issues that afflict the citizens of Kenya, that have afflicted them since independence. Now, we have to take note here that there had been another effort before this, way back after 2002, an effort for a new constitution. And in fact, Kenya set, history by being one of the few African countries that trashed the colonial inherited very, very flawed constitution that promoted authoritarianism and promulgated a brand new constitution that went through the process that actually this BBI is going through. The constitution process went to the people, where they collected views of the citizens across the country, and this body that was tasked with that had to come together and put it all together. This is, of course, a powerful document that governs the country, and then it was taken to a referendum. Now, years later, that old constitution has been implemented. It helped to create the devolved system of government, where power was distributed to other regions, but also created institutions that were supposed to be stronger, like the judiciary and some others. But then the last elections, in fact, the last two elections, proved that even with that new constitution, there are still issues that need to be resolved by other means. And therefore came this idea of the BBI, building bridges. The whole concept is to build bridges amongst Kenyan ethnic groups, amongst politicians, amongst the citizens of Kenya. So they needed to tackle the issues of ethnicity, which the constitution had not strongly kind of tackled. The inclusivity, where we know that people end up being disgruntled and fighting and causing all sorts of issues because they feel they have been left out as communities and as individuals, and also even to kind of refine the whole question of devolution of power. It's been a wonderful process, but also things need to be done in order for regions to feel that they are truly enjoying that autonomous system of government. And other issues that needed to be resolved, of course, I think Nelly might have mentioned, the corruption is a big issue. That is also coming under the BBI. And the election, you know, like, how do you have elections and after elections still have a country and have peace? And also, how do you ensure security? So this is a model that any African country, I think, can look at and see how countries can emerge from controversial elections, can emerge from conflict, and politicians from different political parties, from those in the ruling party and those from the opposition, can actually come together, put the country before them, and think of ways in which to create a peaceful country, not for themselves, but for posterity, and recognizing that we can only achieve this not through the goodwill of individuals, but through institutions.
I see. Nelly, it's remarkable that what began as the handshake between two principals has been sold to the rest of the country, culminating into this Kenya's Constitution Amendment Bill, which seems, maybe the country seems to be welcoming.
Yes, the country seems to be welcoming, going by what has been going on at the county assemblies. We have 47 county assemblies from the different county governments. And by last evening, 38 county assemblies out of the 47 had approved the Building Bridges Initiative. And this was quite a surprise, taking into account that the opponents of the Building Bridges Initiative, led by the Deputy President, have been clamoring a lot of support, I mean, against the BBI. And we even had a chief whip to the Senate write to the President, telling him that BBI will not sell and it will make him lose his political seat. And this is a senator representing the President's backyard. A county from his backyard, his ethnic area. So that letter made many feel that perhaps BBI was being shoved through the throat of many. But from what is going on through the assembly, We see that there's been unanimous approval of that Building Bridges initiative. Some are attributing it perhaps to the carrot that was dangled before the members of the county assembly. They had been offered just 2 weeks ago that they'll be given a 2 million shilling grant to buy vehicles, and they're feeling perhaps this was what motivated them. But it is quite telling that even some of the assemblies from the Deputy Prime Minister's county, one of them in West Pokot, approved this Building Bridges initiative. So it's only one county, that is Baringo, also associated with the Deputy President, that has rejected it. Eight others are yet to give their nod or discuss and finalize debate on this Building Bridges initiative. Just to take you back about the new constitution and what it intended, the constitution was again a product of violent and very chaotic elections that were held in 2007. And after a brokered peace deal, we had one of the items being a new constitution. That new constitution, despite realizing that one of the issues that was affecting Kenya was the issue of the sharing of resources, because we know that in Kenya, once you are in the ruling class, your tribe is in the ruling class, you get all the advantages in terms of public service appointments and other government business, and all the cake goes to you because by virtue of your tribe being in the top seat. So when the constitution was drafted, it designed a pure presidential system such that when the opponent loses, despite the number of votes, they are sent to the cold. So they have to wait again another 5 years. And Raila Odinga contested in 2013. He lost by a small margin. He had to wait for 2017. Again, he lost in a contentious exercise. And we saw that after 2017, his supporters said, no, we are not allowing you to go. We cannot allow you to go with all those millions of votes just to sit at home. You know, we are going to install you as our president. So this BBI now has identified that as a sticking point, and that is why it decided to expand and share power in such that if the loser loses, he will become the leader of official opposition, a recognized office with its perks and its power, so to speak. It will also expand the leadership to have a prime minister and two deputy prime ministers. It will have 21 cabinet ministers who now can also be drawn from the assembly, from parliament. With a pure presidential system, we had only ministers who were just purely ministers. We were not elected representatives. But now we are going back to pre-constitution, the current constitution. Before this constitution, we had ministers who could also be members of parliament, and BBI is taking us back there. But you know, we have now 21 cabinet ministers who can also be members of parliament. The president will appoint the prime minister and the two deputies, and it seeks to eliminate the winner takes it all aspect and ensure that the marginalized communities are also they also have a say in the decision making table, and this it also seeks to do through enhancing the allocation to counties, so from 15% to 45%, so that counties are able to get enough resources and plan themselves with that kind of resources.
And for those just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Tonight, we are looking at Kenya's Building Better Bridges Initiative, commonly known as BBI, and what it may mean for the rest of the continent. Our panelists are my colleague, Vincent Macori, and Nelly Mora Nyangorora, a Nairobi-based independent journalist. Vincent, you just heard from Nelly there explain the details, the nitty-gritty of the whole thing. But you must give credit to these two principles.
Oh, yes, without a question. You have to remember And Nelly actually was, it was good that she mentions, of course, that the constitution, the new constitution, was a product of, was born of that very, very violent the aftermath of the 2007 election. Now, you have to remember that since then, Raila Odinga has been trying to, you know, to win an election, and Uhuru Kenyatta was on the other side, even during the struggle to have a new constitution, and that when the process got to a point where it needed a referendum and it needed voting across the country, Raila Odinga was leading the what was called at that time the Orange Side. That's how the name of his party was born, the Orange Democratic Movement, that was in support of this new constitution. Uhuru Kenyatta was on the side of the government, which was led by Mwai Kibaki then, and they were against that new constitution. They were campaigning against it, but it passed. The citizens of Kenya voting 67% passed that constitution, and it's in place. So it is very instructive that the same principles, the same people who have been on the other, you know, on opposite sides, who have had, you know, times of acrimony, you know, the two elections where Uhuru Kenyatta won the elections, of course, the one it was not accepted by Raila Odinga, and many people feel that in those two elections, Raila Odinga won the elections and was unfairly denied the presidency. But then to see them sit together and look at each other and decide that they're going to work again on yet another initiative, that is something that is commendable. And I think it is something that stands out across the continent and many who have an interest, who really want to see how countries can possibly continue to refine themselves, continue to get, you know, better themselves through, you know, struggles, and sometimes they fail here, but then how they can come up, stand up again and try to move ahead. I think Kenya is becoming a good model. And once this goes into a referendum and eventually probably gets voted in again, that will be another chapter in Kenya. And Raila Odinga will be remembered throughout all this time. That is the man who championed the Kenyan constitution that is in place today, that is a very strong constitution. And in as much as it didn't address some things effectively, but it is a much better constitution than what existed in the years before, including entrenching things like term limits, including creating institutions that are fairly independent and could be stronger in the future, but also will be remembered to have been, again, the guy who was part of the process, part of those who brought up this BBI, which could become yet another document that will help Kenya become a much better country than it was in the past. So Raila Odinga, whether he ever becomes president of the country of Kenya or not, I think one of the other things that should be remembered and could be a model is how an opposition leader who has such a following and who feels rightfully to have been denied the presidency or positions of power through fraudulence or through manipulation can actually put that aside, put the bitterness aside, and still come in and shake hands with those who he believes have denied him that rightful seat, and still discuss peace and discuss the future of the country. That will be a legacy that I don't know if anybody can beat across the continent, as an opposition leader especially.
Nelly, if this bill is passed in Parliament, we are told there'll be a referendum as well. So briefly, what's the timeline like? It goes to Parliament, then referendum. In what time period are we looking at?
Yes, the threshold for the bill to have been subjected to a referendum has already been achieved. It needed 24 counties to approve it, and we are now almost at 40 counties. And so the next step is to go to Parliament. So Parliament, we have the National Assembly and we have the Senate. Both of them will have to consider this BBI, and this must be forwarded to the to Parliament. So once it is forwarded to Parliament, the process of Parliament means that the Speaker and the government business must the House Business Committee, they have to schedule this for debate. And knowing that this is a government initiative and the urgency around it, it is likely that the leaders of the House Business Committee of both houses will push, and the whip of government will push to have quorum so that this bill is approved very quickly and then subjected to a referendum. Parliament was today considering the referendum bill. Yesterday they approved, they finalized debate, and the next stage is now the committee of the whole house. Under this stage, this is where now amendments are proposed. That bill provides guidelines on how the referendum will be conducted, and also guides IEBC on the referendum question, and also will provide the just guidelines on how this referendum will be done. So we are hoping that by this week, that is tomorrow, and because our parliament sits on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, then the referendum bill should have been finalized. Maybe what I could also add about this passage of the BBI, it is that it has taken the deputy president back to the drawing board, because he was using the BBI strategy to sell the hustler and dynasty narrative, because one of the very strong points he has been putting against BBI is that it seeks to reward and create positions for people. And that means ballooning of the wage bill at the expense of the common person. But now we see that the representatives of the people exercising their power on behalf of the people have decided that is just it's not here or there. So they decided to approve it, and the deputy president was really riding on this, and we saw that yesterday. Outcome in the county assembly through very close allies. They have said one senator for Kericho, he said that the hustler mission is unstoppable, and that they will not be disrupted by the passage of the Building Bridges Initiative. And the other senator, also very vocal, Kipchumba Murkomen, also very close to the deputy president, also decided to pour cold water on the celebration. He tweeted that he does not understand why people are celebrating, yet they were running alone. So this really takes the deputy president back to the drawing board, because he has come out very strongly against the Building Bridges Initiative. And there was also the perception that he had the people, especially those from Central Kenya, with him. And now that Central Kenya counties have led in approving unanimously this particular bill, he's back to asking himself whether he really has the critical support that he's been counting on from Central Kenya. And now that will shift 2022 politics.
Vicent, we're running out of time, but what did you take of this experiment compared to the neighborhood, where places like Uganda, they have never had an ex-president living in the country. DR Congo, the same story. In Rwanda, they have had to kill the previous president to have a new one. This seems to be quite an interesting scenario.
Yeah, I mean, despite of what sometimes Kenyans think of the country, sometimes many people are frustrated over the political rhetoric, the economic situation and social issues. But when you look at Kenya and compare with all the neighboring countries, and going all the way to the DRC, talk Burundi, talk Rwanda, talk Uganda, Tanzania, none of those countries have the leaders talking to each other. We haven't had of a situation where in Uganda, President Museveni any of the opposition leaders, whether it is Dr. Besigye, come together and say, although we've been fighting Sebo, let's do something for the benefit of our country. There's no effort. We haven't seen in Tanzania, they don't see eye to eye. They only, spew vitriol over the other, across the aisle. We haven't seen this in Rwanda. There is nobody who can dare even criticize Kagame, you know, and stay in the country safely. So we haven't seen this in Congo. They tried in Congo to have this, you know, government of unity between Kabila and Tshisekedi. But now we see that, you know, Tshisekedi is trying to, you know, entrench himself and push off Mr. Kabila. But generally, in brief, what I can say, Kenya is a case study in how leaders in the country can actually put aside their personal differences, their individual frustrations and anger, and forge forward by thinking about the citizens and the future of a country. It is a model. It is something that people will talk about in the coming years.
Nelly, politicians and those in power aside, what's the general take of the people? Do the people, I'm sure, welcome this development, do they? The general public?
They do. Yes, they do, because BBI has other provisions other than the power sharing. The other provisions really favor the people. For instance, the pillar on shared prosperity, and this intends to have incubation centers at all counties, also ensure digitization of the economy, such as Wi-Fi and data across all the counties, even the remote ones. There's also the issue of tax holidays for SMEs. And youth being given opportunities for business, and university students given a four-year holiday to pay, four-year break to pay, repay the loans. So there are other provisions, and women also, there's also an attempt to have the issues of women elevated, for instance, the girl child, issues of sanitary towels, three of them in schools, having the menstrual regulatory act to ensure that the issues of the girl child are well addressed through a legal framework. And there's also the issues of people living with disabilities and the elderly through a social security fund, medical cover for everyone, especially for those with, over 65 years of age, a health commission to manage the welfare of the people in the health sector, because we have seen that the health sector has suffered strikes periodically because of the issues of welfare. Now there will be a health commission provided for under the BBI that will be able to manage all issues that affect the sector. So there are other provisions in the Building Bridges Initiative, and okay, I'd also forgotten to mention something very crucial. BBI intends to deal decisively with corruption, and this it intends to provide a time frame for handling corruption cases, ensuring speedy prosecution, ensuring the transparent procurement. And you know, corruption is one of the very pertinent issues affecting our country right now, because we have seen, even in terms of COVID, people have been embezzling funds, but when they are taken to court, it takes a long process, and sometimes justice is not achieved. So under BBI, it tends to give a time limit for when these cases can be concluded. So all these are provisions that people resonate with, and people are eager to have them adopted, so that we see where it, the country can is headed after the enactment of BBI.
Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank my colleague Vincent Macquarie, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54, and Nelly Mora Nyangorora, a Nairobi-based independent journalist. Vincent and Nelly, thanks very much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for hosting us.
You're very much welcome. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that you can hear a roundtable on the internet. You can access it by going to the Voice of America main website and you click on programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, wishing you all the best.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, Check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.